You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Shalom, Australia. The IDF attacked a Syrian position on Friday after a mortar shell exploded in the buffer zone between the two countries in a violation of a 1974 ceasefire agreement. The tens of thousands of displaced Syrians who have made their way towards the Israeli Golan Heights have settled in overflowing, under-resourced tent cities near the border, in some cases clearly visible from Israel. The Israeli military sent additional tanks and artillery cannons to the border last Sunday. A large fire broke out near Kibbutz Or Haneh yesterday. 9 firefighting teams were at the scene with the support of 4 firefighting aircraft. A second fire was reported near Kibbutz Nir Am. Yesterday marked 100 days since the beginning of the phenomenon of incendiary kites and balloons being launched into Israeli communities bordering the Gaza Strip. Since March 30th, dozens of fires have been started on a daily basis, ravaging swathes of Israeli landscape. On Friday, police launched a campaign urging children to stay away from any unknown kites, balloons, or drones they might find on the ground this summer. The trial of Gonen Segev, accused of spying for Iran, opened in Jerusalem on Thursday. Segev is accused of aiding the enemy during a time of war, spying and transferring secret information to the enemy. Segev, a doctor by profession, was a Knesset member who served as energy and infrastructure minister from 1992 to 1995. His trial is being held behind closed doors before a 3-judge panel. An NGO linked to the Polish government took out full-page ads in newspapers in Israel, the US, Germany, Poland and elsewhere containing the text of the Israeli-Polish declaration signed by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his Polish counterpart Mateusz Morawiecki on June 27th. The declaration is part of an agreement that ended the diplomatic tension over a controversial Polish law that criminalized any accusation of the Polish nation being responsible or co-responsible for Nazi crimes committed by the Third Reich. Poland sees Israel as having capitulated to the Polish narrative, exonerating it of accusations that Poles had any meaningful role in the Holocaust. The statement says that the term Polish death camps is blatantly erroneous and rejects anti-Semitism and anti-Polonism. Professor Yehuda Bauer of Yad Vashem said on Thursday that the declaration contains highly problematic wording that contradicts existing and accepted historical knowledge in this field. Negotiators Joseph Chernunova and Yaakov Negel said that Dina Parat, Yad Vashem's chief historian, accompanied the process from its inception, and historical statements that appear in the declaration were approved by her. Parat herself said that she did not see the final draft until it was released last week. She disassociated herself from the declaration. On Thursday, Education Minister Naftali Bennett called the declaration a disgrace, saturated with lies, and a betrayal of the memory of those who perished in the Holocaust. Yesh Atid chairman M.K. Yair Lapid, the son of a Holocaust survivor, called on Netanyahu to cancel the agreement. The High Court of Justice on Thursday night issued a temporary injunction preventing the state from carrying out plans to demolish the Bedouin village of Khan al-Ahmar, giving the state until July the 11th to respond. An urgent petition claimed the civil administration, in charge of construction permits in the West Bank, never offered any plans to legalize the village and refused to review a plan submitted by the villagers. Activists say the villagers, who have lived on the site since the 1950s, after the state evicted them from their Negev homes, had little alternative but to build without Israeli construction permits. On Thursday, diplomats from Belgium, Finland, France, Ireland, Italy, Spain and Switzerland sought to visit the village school, which is funded by these European countries, but they were turned back at the village entrance. Police at the scene said the area had been declared a closed military zone. Opponents of the demolition say it is part of an effort to enable the expansion of Kfar Adumim and to create a region of contiguous Israeli control from Jerusalem to the Dead Sea. Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop announced on Monday that Australia had ended its direct government aid to the PA over fears its funds would be used to pay welfare stipends to families of Palestinians killed or jailed for attacks on Israel. The funds will instead be provided to UN aid efforts to the Palestinians. The Palestinian Authority on Tuesday condemned Australia's cruel decision, calling the move politically motivated and saying it has no grounding in facts. On Monday, 3 months after the US Congress passed the Taylor Force Act into law, father of stabbing victim Taylor Force, Stuart Force, travelled for the first time to Israel to see the Knesset pass a similar law to slash funds to the Palestinian Authority by the amount Ramallah pays out to convicted terrorists, a policy nicknamed Pay for Slay. A minor earthquake measuring 3.4 on the Richter scale was felt in northern Israel yesterday morning. The first quake of last week, which took place early Wednesday morning in the northern Galilee area, measured 4.3 on the Richter scale. It was felt in the Haifa region in northern Israel and was followed by several aftershocks. Thursday brought a tremble weaker than the preceding ones, measuring between 3.1 and 3.2 on the Richter scale. Its epicenter was near Tiberias. Israeli security forces documented only 6 terrorist attacks in Jerusalem in June, the lowest figure on record for any given month in at least 3 years. The decrease was part of an overall drop of 40% in the number of terrorist attacks nationwide documented in June. The IDF launched a campaign on Tuesday to warn its soldiers about Hamas hackers who have been trying to install spyware on their phones via a World Cup app and 2 online dating sites. About 100 soldiers were duped into downloading the spyware, giving Hamas access to their smartphones, turning on the phone cameras and recording devices, and accessing the phone's contents. Over 100 soldiers had been affected by the scam, but the spyware failed to damage the country's security. Universal Music Studios has sent a pre-suit note letter to Doron Medali and Stav Berger, who jointly wrote the Eurovision-winning song Netta Barzilai's Toy, saying it was copied from the White Stripes 2003 hit Seven Nation Army. If the claim is proven in court, it could disqualify Toy's eligibility to participate in Eurovision and strip Israel of its win and hosting rights for the 2019 tournament. Medali, who confirmed the news, will travel on Wednesday to the United States to try and solve the crisis. Israeli rescuers have been part of the international effort to extract 12 Thai boys from a flooded cave, and Israeli technology has helped maintain communication with the stranded group. Israel's ambassador to Thailand, Meir Shlomo, yesterday visited the site of the rescue efforts at the Tum Lung cave complex. The Mossad has recovered a wristwatch belonging to legendary Israeli spy Eli Cohen, who was executed in Syria in 1965 and brought it back to Israel in a recent special operation. Cohen infiltrated the top levels of Syrian political leadership in the years before the Six-Day War, and information he obtained is credited with playing a key role in Israel's stunning success in that war. His body has never been returned from Syria, despite decades of appeal. This is Peter Jones-Pellach, reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.
sbs.com.au